The United Nations has once again called on the federal government to improve efforts to deal with discrimination against Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children. In particular, it's raised the issue of the 13,000 Indigenous children currently in care, away from their culture and their language. Indigenous children are 10 times more likely to be in out-of-home care than other children, and they represent nearly a third of children in care. The concerns follow last year's damning report by the UN Committee on the Rights of the Child, which found Australia is failing to protect and support vulnerable children. The recently retired Vice President of the Committee is back in Australia now. Marta Maras was Special Rapporteur for Australia in 2012. She joins us from Cairns this morning. Marta Maras, welcome to Breakfast.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
You're calling on the Australian government to, quote, redress persistent discrimination against Indigenous children. Where has the committee found evidence of discrimination? Which areas?
Well, you just quoted yourself, no? The over-representation of an Aboriginal and Strait Island children in the out-of-care system. There's also a huge over-representation of Aboriginal children in the juvenile justice system. No, there are over 10 times more Aboriginal children than non-Aboriginal adolescents, no, in the juvenile justice system. So those two are very striking, certainly very striking figures.
Let's go to the children in care, the cultural rights of Indigenous kids being taken out of home and community. Yet the policy to remove children is formed always in response to concern about a child's safety, to putting that first, and that is paramount, isn't it?
Yes, indeed, it is paramount, and I'm sure that is what inspires some of these measures. Nevertheless, the big problem, the big failing, really, is to do this and to express this concern in consultation with the Indigenous communities themselves, the vulnerable families themselves, and the children. This is the big problem, that they do not get heard and they do not get consulted when it comes to designing specific measures to so-called protect children. This is the most infamous example, of course, is the Northern Territories Emergency Response Program that did exactly that. It did it for a good purpose. No, it was supposed to address the issue of child sexual abuse, but it did it in a way that was completely oblivious of any specific circumstances in each of the different areas of the territory. It did not consult with Indigenous people, and although now the government is softening the approach and hopefully will start consulting, no, the damage was done.
But in terms of the intervention, and you know, there are varying views on the intervention, the Northern Territory intervention, but everyone agrees it was prompted by a concern for keeping children safe. There is policy in place across the country, I thought, that's meant said that governments and government agencies have to consult with representatives from Indigenous child's family, kinship group, or other organisations before placements are made. Is this not the appropriate structure to have in place before you're moving children? You know, isn't that the most you can do in a sense, other than leaving children where they are?
Well, provided it is in fact put in place a system of consulting, of sitting down and deciding what is best. The best interests of the child, you know, requires a dialogue, requires that all the different circumstances, including the family, the belonging, the culture, the language, the place of residence, need to be taken into account. If this is not happening, then why would the SNAIC, which is now holding its fifth national conference here in Cairns, why is it calling for a step-up campaign precisely to try and promote an understanding and respect for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander rights and cultures and place the family and the community decision-making at the center of all the programs? They wouldn't do it if it if it was happening. So clearly, there's a failing there. I don't doubt the good intentions. And in fact, there's even more money being put into some of these programs. But the trick, the key change that needs to occur is that women leaders, men leaders, children leaders need to be consulted in these communities in order to come out with the best possible solution closest to everybody's interest and well-being.
It's 11 minutes past 8 on Breakfast. Our guest this morning is Marta Marash. She's the recently retired Vice President of the UN Committee on the Rights of the Child. Marta, the UN has, I think, just released a report on violence against Indigenous girls, adolescents, and young women.
Yes.
The sexual safety of women and girls, as we've been discussing in some Indigenous communities, has been an issue. What did your report find in terms of what's worked in other countries with Indigenous children in particular?
Well, I must say the both this report as well as an earlier report, the World of the State Indigenous Peoples report of a bit earlier, 2009, come up with the fact that almost everywhere in the world, Indigenous and Aboriginal people lag behind. And even the Human Development Index, when applied to a country like Australia. Australia is third or second, I believe, in this moment in the ranking of Human Development Index. But if applied to the Aboriginal people, Australia ranks 103. So there's a huge discrepancy. The same occurs in Canada and in New Zealand and in the U.S., but not as big the difference as for Australia. And it has been this Human Development Index for Aboriginal people has been stagnant, basically, in Australia. It hasn't improved. Now, coming back to your question, what works? Basically, respect for the culture, dialogue, consultation, better professionals that work with children and with Aboriginal people that are tuned into the culture and the communities. In Latin America, I'm from Chile, you know, Latin America, what is proven to be working very well are the programs that have an approach of a multicultural approach and bilingual teaching from the very first grades in primary school. That's the kind of approach that works.
And everything you've said there is what we know. We've been hearing this for a long time now. We've been hearing that the government and the policymakers need to have respect for the culture they're intervening in or trying to deal with, that they need to involve the Indigenous people in the conversation, in the dialogue. They need to have proper training and cultural training with the professionals dealing with them. Mm-hmm. All those things. Why do you think that things aren't getting better? And in some indicators, things are actually getting worse.
Well, I basically think that there is an ingrained and persistent and sustained discrimination in mostly all our societies. And I speak here in Chile, my own country. Discrimination against people who are different or who in some way or the other, you know, contest established institutions, and this is the case in it has been the case everywhere in the world. In fact, this is why still, you internationally speaking, there is no treaty as such or convention. No, for the rights of Indigenous people, there's a declaration, a UN declaration, which when it was passed was very important, of course, and has been an extremely important instrument. But basically, there is an ingrained discrimination in our societies that needs to be tackled with openness, with conversations, with better education, with education on human rights and child rights from the very from preschool onwards. And this is not only just having a class, it's exercising respect, no? And openness.
Well, we'll have another go. Marta Maras, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Marta Maras is the recently retired Vice President of the UN Committee on the Rights of the Child. And we're talking there about the UN calling on the federal government to improve efforts to deal with what they describe as discrimination against Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children in this country. There has been some improvement, though, on some indicators, according to the COAG report, Closing the Gap report released yesterday. In the last 10 years, or less than 10 years, of the Closing the Gap strategy, found the rate of Indigenous people living in overcrowded accommodation fell by 12.3%. That's a significant improvement, though the news was not so good on the mortality rates. The aim of closing the mortality gap, the life expectancy gap between black and white Australians by 2013, the only place on track to even getting close to achieving that at the moment, according to the COAG report, is the Northern Territory. It's 17 past 8.